It's 5:06, and you're listening to Central Time here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Rob Ferret. My co-host Veronica Rickard is off for the holiday. Today is not only Thanksgiving here in America, it's also the first day of Hanukkah. And our next guest says Jewish Americans celebrate the holiday unlike any other place in the world. Joining us to discuss her new book, Hanukkah in America, A History, is Diane Ashton, professor of religion studies at Rowan University. Diane, thanks for spending time on the holidays with us.
Oh, I'm very glad to be with you.
How important of a holiday, setting aside the United States for a minute, how important a holiday is Hanukkah in Judaism?
Hanukkah is ranked as a minor festival. It's certainly something that everyone is aware of and that we are supposed to celebrate, but it is not one of the more important occasions in the Jewish calendar.
And what does it commemorate?
It commemorates the rededication of the temple in Jerusalem in 164 BCE after it had been retaken from people, the country that had conquered ancient Judea, tried to destroy the temple. Jewish forces retook it and rededicated it.
So how did the holiday take on such significance here in the United States if it's a relatively minor festival the rest of the world and throughout most of history?
Well, Hanukkah has the good fortune to occur at a time of the year when the rest of American culture is having a very good time. And so Hanukkah allows Jews to enjoy themselves because we're told to sing and rejoice at Hanukkah. And we can do this by doing something Jewish and at the same time participate in what American culture is also doing. The rest of American society is also celebrating and having a joyous time with their families, and we can do the same with ours.
Was there a point where there was a conscious effort to say, hey, everybody else is having fun with Christmas, let's make a bigger deal, a bigger celebration out of Hanukkah?
Yes. In fact, for more than 100 years, rabbis and Jewish newspaper editors and religious leaders began saying to parents, give your children gifts at Hanukkah so that they can be happy to be Jewish children at this time of year when they see their Christian playmates having a good time being Christian.
Was there
So this was something that was very definitely advocated.
Was there concern that maybe some Jewish children in particular were being kind of lured into the Christmas celebration?
I think the concern was more that they were unhappy being Jewish, and people wanted their children to be happy and to have warm, fond memories created that they would be able to look back on when they became adults and would be then happy to carry on with their own children. And so it would help them to not only be happy as children, but would cement their commitment to Judaism all through their lives.
I remember around Christmas sometimes being jealous of my Jewish cousins who got presents every day for a few days leading up to Christmas and then Christmas presents from the other side of the family. But was gift-giving always a part of Hanukkah tradition, or was that an innovation here in the United States?
Oh, it's part of the U.S. Holidays are big business in the U.S. And it's very hard not to have some kind of consumerism involved in an American holiday. So gift-giving emerged really in the United States.
And when did that start? When did gift-giving become a part of the Hanukkah tradition?
In the late 19th century, at the same time that Christmas really took off, when we had department stores growing very large and becoming very easily available to people, and shopping becoming an important part of women's lives and mothers' lives, Jews participated in that same cultural trend and took to the shopping and the buying and the domestic holidays along with the rest of American culture.
The time period you're talking about, if I recall correctly, is a time of a big boom in immigration of Jewish people from Eastern Europe, countries around Eastern Europe in particular. Was this kind of building up of Hanukkah and maybe other holidays a way to bring people together from diverse parts of Europe in a new country?
Well, it's interesting because what we see in Yiddish newspapers that were read by the new immigrants, people would say that they were buying presents for their children at Hanukkah, and we're very proud that they could do that because it showed that they were becoming successful in America. They were taking on American behaviors, and they could afford to buy their children presents. So this was something that gave new immigrants great satisfaction.
For a lot of immigrant groups, for just about every immigrant group, I think there's a tension between the desire to fit in, assimilate even, versus maintaining the traditions, the old ways, whatever they may have been. Was that tension there in the late 19th century into the early 20th century when it came to Hanukkah?
Yes, very much so. And I think, in fact, I think it's somewhat still around. I think there are still people who feel very ambivalent about how commercial Hanukkah has become, that Hanukkah has become more important because it coincides with the Christmas season. And there are people who really are uncomfortable with that. But that's American culture. That's the culture we're living in.
One thing that I was a little surprised this year that Hanukkah happened this early on Thanksgiving. I didn't realize that the timing was quite that wide-ranging. How is that? I know this is going outside of America and your book a little, but how is that timing calculated?
Well, the Jewish calendar is basically a lunar calendar with interpolations to make sure that the holidays stay basically in the same season that they're supposed to be in. But within that, they move quite a lot relative to the U.S. calendar, which is a straight solar calendar. So there's some floating there.
Kind of like Easter, I assume Passover is a similar thing? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So you mentioned that consumerism, buying stuff, is a huge part of just about any American holiday. So is food. How important is food to Hanukkah celebrations?
Food is important to every Jewish occasion. A good many Jewish holidays have some component where there's a meal at home. And so Hanukkah is no different. But at Hanukkah, the important foods are fried. And they can be anything, any kind of food, as long as it's fried, because that symbolizes the miracle of the oil that occurred when the temple was rededicated. A small amount of oil for the menorahs in the temple lasted for 8 days until more could be made. And this was seen as a miracle. And so we commemorate that miracle by eating fried foods. And what that food is can vary tremendously depending on what part of the world you're living in. In Israel, people eat jelly donuts. In Eastern Europe, where most Jews in the U.S. came from, people ate potato pancakes. And many, many Jews in America eat potato pancakes. People from Central and South America will eat fried plantains or yucca pancakes. And, of course, the recipes can change for those pancakes quite a lot. There's a men's club at a Fort Worth, Texas synagogue that sells latkes every Hanukkah. And you can buy those latkes either with a traditional potato and onion recipe or with a more Mexican-flavored recipe. So what you do with the food can really change.
We'll get into maybe some more of the food and other things about Hanukkah in America in a few minutes. We're talking to Diane Ashton. She's author of the book Hanukkah in America, A History. And you can join in. We're live here on the holiday at 800-642-1234. If you have a question about Hanukkah is celebrated, or if you are celebrating today, what do you do? What's an important part of your annual Hanukkah tradition? And are you combining Hanukkah and Thanksgiving? Thanks, Hanukkah. Gannon will help me out there in a minute. Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or send us an email, talk@WPR.org. Thanksgiving, I think that's it. You're listening to Central Time here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Right now, we continue our conversation with Diane Ashton. She's the author of the book Hanukkah in America, A History. You can join in, still time for you, at 800-642-1234. If you have a question about Hanukkah, how it's celebrated, what it means, or if you are kicking off your celebration today, let us know some of your favorite memories, a cherished tradition, what your family is doing right now. 800-642-1234 is the number to call. That's 800-642-1234 or email talk@WPR.org. Diane, you mentioned the menorah, and that's an important part, I know, of the Hanukkah celebration. You mentioned briefly the historical influence, but Joe, what kind of things have Jews in America done with the menorah as part of the celebration?
Oh, that's a really interesting question, because, of course, the menorah itself really doesn't matter so much. It's it's a holder for the lights. It's the lights that matter. So the style of the menorah can be almost anything and has become almost anything. So we see menorahs that are really beautiful art objects, and we see menorahs that are just very simple tin things that are sometimes given away to school children. There are menorahs made by the Disney company that have Disney characters in them. There are menorahs that show scenes of New York City. There are menorahs that have the Statue of Liberty or have sports equipment images. I mean, they can be almost anything. And again, because the holiday is supposed to be a joyous time, they are part of the fun, really, particularly if it's a menorah that's given to a child who will use it. Then the menorah will often reflect whatever the child is interested in.
So it's become, in some ways, a symbol of the holiday analogous to maybe the Christmas tree or a Christmas wreath, it sounds like.
Well, in a sense, you're right, in that it's part of something that reflects the family's tastes.
And the candles themselves, though, you say are the more important religious aspect of it. Do people still include the candles along with their menorah? It isn't just a menorah doing nothing there for the most part.
Right, but the candles are just small candles. They burn for about half an hour. They're thin. So the time that the menorah is actually lighted is actually only about half an hour. And during that time, you're not supposed to do any work. So that's just great. You have a good half an hour of time to sing, to play games, to talk with your family and friends. It's a perfect way in a dark evening to remember a miracle and to have a good time.
In studying the history of Hanukkah in America, was there anything that surprised you that you hadn't known going in?
Almost everything. I think one of the things that really impressed me was how the story of the Maccabees was so important in making Hanukkah a meaningful event in different eras, because Jews have been in North America since 1654, and it was really in the 19th century that rabbis began to talk about the Maccabees as great leaders. And their debates over leadership and the Maccabees and the importance of the Maccabees really started making the whole story of Hanukkah something that was much more commonly familiar to people in the U.S. than it had been previously. But in each era of American Jewish life, the Maccabees were understood in a different way. They were understood always as people who were brave and courageous, but what that entailed and what it was they were fighting for was always modified to reflect whatever Jews felt was their current challenge. So the Maccabees, they would talk about the Maccabees fighting for religious freedom. They would talk about the Maccabees' courage in overcoming oppressors who were trying to wipe them out. So, for instance, during World War II, the Maccabees' courage and ultimate victory over an army that was trying to destroy Jews and Judaism, you can imagine
Wow.
how important that image was.
Wow. And how is that tale told today? What kind of concerns does it reflect nowadays?
I think these days the idea of religious freedom, which has been consistently a theme, is still one of the most important ideas about Hanukkah, that the Maccabees fought for religious freedom.
When I think about Jewish America, I have to step back and think about how diverse that is, how many different communities, secular, Orthodox, and all points in between. How much diversity is there in the way those groups mark Hanukkah?
Well, that's pretty interesting because there is tremendous diversity in Jewish life in America these days. You're quite right. And some people will, well, the Chabad Lubavitch, I think, is probably the most distinctive. These people are really dedicated to trying to get America's Jews to be more observant, because most American Jews are certainly not as religiously observant as the Chabad Lubavitch would like them to be. And so this is a group that puts out these very large electric menorahs in public squares. People have seen them probably all over the country at this point. And so they will have Hanukkah celebrations in a public square. They'll serve latkes to people, and they'll sing, and they'll light these very large, very public menorahs. That's very distinctive, and they're really meant to be a kind of beacon to other Jews in the area to remind them to light their own Hanukkah candles. That's probably the most distinctive.
I wonder, since the United States is such a unique place in the way it celebrates Hanukkah, when Jewish people from other countries go here or Americans go elsewhere, is there kind of a culture shock? Like, what are you doing, or why aren't you celebrating this more?
I think American Jews who go to other countries are surprised that Hanukkah is not as commercial an event as it is here. But again, that's because this is a highly commercial season. And I think any country would be hard-pressed to be as commercialized as an American. The time between Thanksgiving and Christmas, I think our commercial culture is more intense than anybody's.
And are Jews from other countries surprised when they come here and see how commercial
yes.
it is and the hullabaloo
yes.
about it? It's
yes.
just Hanukkah.
Right.
Okay. Well, food, as we mentioned, a big part of the holiday. But this year, the first day of Hanukkah is today, also Thanksgiving. And there's been a lot of writing, positive and negative, about how these two holidays are being integrated or kept separate. How is that Thanksgiving collision affecting Jewish Americans this year?
I think people are kind of amazed by it being a big fuss. But the two holidays are both about giving thanks, so you don't have a conceptual problem. I think the only question is, you know, when do you eat your Hanukkah food, and when do you eat your Thanksgiving food, or are we going to do this together? I've seen recipes for deep-fried turkeys or sweet potato latkes, and that's fine. There's absolutely no problem with that from Judaism's perspective.
I think it would be great to have turkey, some gravy on potato pancakes, the potato pancakes you mentioned earlier. That sounds like a great combination.
Yeah,
what is
I
on,
think so.
What's on your table tonight or earlier today, depending on your timing?
Actually, it's right now. It's totally Thanksgiving. I'll be having a Hanukkah party at my house on Saturday night, and then we'll eat the latkes.
Okay, latkes, and what else is on the menu for Saturday?
Oh, it's a potluck, so I'm not sure what's going to be coming.
All right. Well, thank you so much for joining us today. A lot of fun. I've learned a lot about Hanukkah and the way we celebrate it in America.
Well, thanks for having me. Have a good Thanksgiving.
You too, and have a great Hanukkah. That was Diane Ashton. She's professor of religion studies at Rowan University. Her new book is Hanukkah in America, A History. There's still more to come here on Central Time. We're going to look at Thanksgiving Day shopping. A lot of retailers are opening them up, the big stores, the big chain stores in particular, hoping to get a jump on Black Friday shopping, get those holiday sales dollars coming in. Our guest, not happy about it, says, nope, it's optional. They should stay closed. The workers should stay home. And she's encouraging customers to not go there. Maybe you're listening on your way there right now, though. We'll talk about that coming up. And we'll be back tomorrow on Central Time with a look at the latest news. We're thankful for you listening, certainly, and we hope you turn in tomorrow. We'll have great advice on photography. We'll have a book, If Mayors Ruled the World, What the World Can Learn from Mayors of Big Cities and How They May Take the Lead in Solving the World's Problems. Check us out today or anytime. We're Central Time on WPR on Facebook. You can tweet us. Let us know what you thought of today's show at Central Time WPR. We're Central Time WPR on Twitter. Stick around. More to come on Central Time coming up after the news. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.